of Saturday Night Theatre.
The Seven-Year Itch by George Axelrod, with Hugh Paddick as Richard Sherman.
It's hard on a man when the family goes away. They spend the summer at the beach. I spend the summer in the city, making money to send them to the beach. My name's Richard Sherman, incidentally, and I'm in publishing. And I make just about enough money. Still, it's peaceful here in the apartment with everybody gone. Oh. It's sure as hell peaceful. Ricky was really upset this morning when they left for the station. It was very flattering. I thought the kid was going to cry.
But what about Daddy? Isn't Daddy coming with us?
Poor Daddy's going to work very hard. He's going to eat properly and not smoke like Dr. Murphy told him. And he's going to stay on the wagon for a while, like Dr. Summers told him, to take care of his nervous indigestion.
Poor Daddy.
And just to make sure Daddy's all right, Mummy is going to call Daddy at 10 o'clock tonight.
10 o'clock? I don't even know how I'm going to stay awake till 10 o'clock. It's so hot. Better move around, maybe. Get some air. Out of the terrace. That feels better. Might almost kid myself there's a breeze. Hey, lady! I know it's a hot night, but... You sit out on this terrace, it's like having a television set with about 30 channels going at once. Don't give me any dirty look, lady. I pay rent for this terrace. You don't like it? Pull your blind down. Oh. Well, that's life. Helen has a lot of nerve calling me at 10 o'clock. Shows a definite lack of trust. What she think I'm going to do? Start smoking the minute she turns her back? Start drinking? You should see what I'm drinking. Where's that bottle? Raspberry soda. Since I've been on the wagon, I've had one continuous upset stomach. Maybe she thinks I'm going to have girls in here. You know, that's a hell of a thing. 7 years we've been married, and not once have I done anything like that. Not once. And don't think I couldn't have either. Because I could have. But plenty. Don't laugh. There's plenty of women who think I'm pretty attractive, for your information.
For instance, who?
What do you mean, for instance, who? There have been plenty of them, that's all.
Name one. Go ahead, just one.
Well, it's hard. I mean, just offhand. There's plenty of them, though. Well, there's Miss Morris, for instance. She's practically thrown herself at me. You should see the way she gives me the business every time she comes into my office. She wears those backless things, and she's always telling me it's so hot she's not wearing any underwear.
Sounds perfectly sordid. Does she sit on your lap when she takes dictation?
Of course not. I just happened to bring her up as an example.
Oh, I'm quite sure you are a great success with the stenographers in your office.
And she's not the only one. You probably don't even remember that Marie, whatever her name was, from the UN, who was staying with the Petersons in Westport last summer. We went swimming together one night, without any bathing suits. You didn't know that, did you? It was that Saturday night the Mackenzies came up, and I drove over to the beach by myself.
Hello, Dee. You two without doubt like to swim at night. I like it because the wearing of a bathing suit is unnecessary.
I don't speak French very good, but I knew what she was talking about.
The water at night is magnificent. There is a warmth and a feeling of black velvet, especially when one is without bathing costume.
May we? May we?
Voila. Let us go.
We didn't do anything but swim. As a matter of fact, she was plenty disappointed we didn't do anything but swim. If Helen is going to start worrying about me after 7 years, it's pretty ridiculous, that's all. She probably figures she isn't as young as she used to be. She's 31 years old. One of these days, she's going to wake up and find her looks are gone. Then where will she be? No wonder she's worried. Especially since I don't look a bit different than I did when I was 28. Not my fault, I don't. Just a simple biological fact. Women age quicker than men. I probably won't look any different when I'm 60. I have that kind of a face. Everybody will think she's my mother. Now, who's that? Hello? Hello? Who is it?
I'm terribly sorry to bother you.
What?
I feel so silly. I forgot my key. I'm the person who's up at the Kaufman's apartment. You know, the one above yours. Only I locked myself out, so I pressed your bell. I hope you don't mind.
No, I don't mind. No trouble at all.
Oh, thank you. I'm awfully sorry.
Don't worry about it. Anytime.
Thank you. Well, goodbye.
Goodbye. Sublet the Kaufman's apartment, eh? I should have asked her in for a drink. Oh, no, I shouldn't have. Not me, kid. Hello?
Richard, is that you?
Oh, hello, Helen. I wasn't expecting you to call till 10. Is everything okay?
Everything's fine. We're just settling in, you know. How are you getting on?
Well, you know, the old place is pretty empty without you. I can't wait till Friday. Ricky okay, is he?
He's fine, except he wet his pants.
He did? Well, he hasn't done that for a long time. Probably just excitement.
Oh, and one other thing. Huh? Guess who I met up here? Tom McKenzie.
You met Tom McKenzie? What's Tom McKenzie doing up there?
He's taking his holiday like everyone else.
Look, my advice to you is to avoid Tom McKenzie like the plague.
Richard.
Look, are you sure everything else is all right?
Oh, yes, we're fine. I'm tired, of course.
Yeah. Pretty tired myself. Go to bed, huh?
Yeah, I think maybe we should.
Yeah. Good night.
Good night,
Tom. Good night. Well, might as well go to sleep myself. I don't feel sleepy. I suddenly realize I'm not even a little bit sleepy. I better get into bed and read. God knows I got enough stuff here I'm supposed to read. Got a conference with Dr. Brubaker tomorrow night. Might be amusing if I'd finished his miserable book before I talked to him about it. One more raspberry soda and I'm all set. Where's that bottle? Oh, yeah, out on the terrace. Somewhere out here, I know it was. She's got her blind up again. Hey, lady! Look at that damn thing. It's iron. An iron flower pot right where I was standing. I could have been killed, for God's sake. Cigarette. I forgot, I'm not smoking. Oh, what the... I could have been killed. Just then. Like that. Right now, I could be dead. Oh, that tastes beautiful. First one in 6 weeks. All those lovely, injurious tars and resins. Oh, I'm dizzy. Oh, my God.
This thing weighs a ton. I can't even budge it. I could have been killed.
Hey, up there. What's the big idea? You want to kill somebody or something?
What's the matter?
What's the matter? This goddamn cast iron chamber pot damn nearly killed me. That's what's the matter. What the hell? Oh. Oh. Huh. It's you. Hello.
What happened? Oh, golly, the tomato plant fell over.
Sure did.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry.
It's okay.
I seem to be giving you a terrible time tonight. First the door and now this. I don't know what to do.
Don't worry about it. Hey, up there.
Yes?
I tell you what you can do about it. You can come down and have a drink.
Oh, but that doesn't...
Sure, sure, it seems. Come on now. I insist. See you in a minute.
All right. I'm terribly sorry.
It's okay. Don't worry about it.
Matter of fact, it's wonderful.
See you in a minute.
All right.
Drink. A drink. That's what I'm going to have now. A drink.
Drink. Ah, the hell with it. A little whiskey. Glass.
That's good.
Hi there.
Richard? Is that you?
Oh. Oh, Helen. Well, Helen, this is a surprise. And a very pleasant one, if I may say so.
Richard, are you all right?
Sure, sure, sure. I'm all right. Why shouldn't I be all right?
Sound funny.
In what way do I sound funny?
Have you been drinking?
No, I haven't been drinking. I just
well,
had a...
What I'm reading about. Huh? My yellow skirt sent up.
You want your yellow skirt?
Tom McKenzie and some people are coming over for cocktail.
Tom McKenzie and some people coming over for cocktail. Good old Tom. How is he?
Richard, are you listening? My yellow skirt.
Yellow skirt. I know, I know. I'll send it off first thing in the morning. By parcel,
folks. It's in the hall closet, hanging up.
I'll find it. I'll find it.
You sure now?
Yeah, yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, good night, Tom.
Good night.
Sleep well.
Good night. Good night.
Now, what do we need? Cocktails. Music.
I can see it all. Soft lighting. What am I doing anyway? This is absolutely ridiculous. First night, Helen leaves and I'm bringing Dames into the apartment. Now, take it easy. Girl upstairs damn nearly kills you with a cast iron bucket, so you ask her down for a drink. What's wrong with that? If Helen was here, she'd do the same thing. It's only polite. And what the hell is she doing asking Tom McKenzie over for cocktails, for God's sake? Besides, I want to get another look at that girl. She must be some kind of a model or actress or something. Maybe we ought to have a little soft music. Just for atmosphere. Let's see. About second piano concerto. No, maybe Rachmaninoff would be overdoing it a little. This kid's probably more for the old show tunes. That's more like it. Gotham, the old nostalgia. Never misses. Never misses? What am I trying to do? I'll call her and tell her not to come. That's all. Why ask for trouble? I don't even know what her phone number is. Don't even know her name. What am I doing? And what the hell is she doing? She could have been down here, had a lousy drink, and gone home already. She's probably getting all fixed up. She'll probably be wearing some kind of a damn evening dress. Oh, my God, what have I done? If anything happens, it happens. That's all. It's up to her.
She looks kind of sophisticated. She must know what she's doing. I'm pretty sophisticated myself. At least I used to be. Been married so damn long, I don't remember. Drink? Thanks. Soda? A dash. Cheers. I can see it now. The door opens. And she's standing there. She's in her early 20s. Staggeringly beautiful. She wears an extravagantly beautiful evening gown. A wise, half-mocking, half-enticing smile plays across her face.
I came.
I'm so glad.
Didn't you know I'd come?
Of course. Of course I knew. Won't you come in?
Thank you.
How lovely you are. Tell me, who are you? What is your name?
Does it matter?
No, of course not. I was a boor to ask.
Why? Have you invited me here?
Oh, just one of those things. Just one of those foolish things. A trip to the moon on gossamer wings.
How sweet. Oh, a Steinway. Do you play?
Just a little now, for myself.
Play something for me.
All right. You'll be sorry you asked.
I'm sure I won't be.
You'll see. I'm a little rusty. Tell me, what would you think if, quite suddenly, I were to seize you in my arms and cover your neck with kisses?
I would think, what a mad, impetuous fool he is.
And if I merely continue to sit mooning at you, as I have done for the last half hour, what would you think then?
I would simply think, what a fool he is.
Oh. Oh, what? What? Oh, my God. Come in. Come in. Dr. Brubaker.
Good evening. I hope I haven't kept you waiting.
Look, Dr. Brubaker, wasn't
your our office and point... the galleys of the last five chapters? I have them here with me. They are a mass of errors. I want to go over the whole thing very, very carefully,
Dr.
with
Brubaker,
you.
I'm terribly sorry.
Never apologize.
Our appointment, I believe, was for tomorrow.
I understand,
night.
Of course, that your firm wishes to reach as wide an audience as possible, but I must protest, and very, very strongly, against the changing of the title of my book from Of Man and the Unconscious to Of Sex and Violence.
Dr. Brubaker, I'm terribly sorry.
No, sorry.
I know how important it is, mm-hmm. but I'm afraid our appointment was for tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night?
Tuesday night. I understood it was definite for Tuesday night.
Good Lord.
And I'm afraid I have someone coming in tonight. Another appointment. With an author. Oh. And she'll be here any minute. In fact, she's late.
That is astounding. That is really incredible.
Well, it's probably my fault. I probably wasn't clear on the phone.
No. You were perfectly clear. It's just that the
I can't
the
understand
thing.
How
it's
it
perfectly
happened.
Simple. It is repressed oxoricide.
I beg your pardon?
A repressed oxoricide. I came tonight because I want to murder my wife.
I see. Yes.
Yes.
Yes, of course.
Yes, it's a perfectly natural phenomenon. Happens every day.
It does?
Oh, certainly. Upon leaving the clinic and being faced with the necessity of returning to my home, I felt a strong, unconscious impulse to murder my wife. Oh, naturally. Not wishing to do the good woman any bodily harm, my mind conveniently changed our appointment to tonight. What could be more simple?
I see.
I am most sorry to have inconvenienced
Never
you, sir.
Never apologize.
No, no.
That's quite all right.
And I shall see you here tomorrow evening.
Fine, Doctor. Yes, we could as easily have our conference tonight, except have this other author coming.
Of course, yes. I understand perfectly. Thank you. Oh, by the way, have you finished reading the book?
Well, I got as far as chapter 3, the Maya Holt case.
Maya Heim. You read very slowly, sir. Well, good night. Oh, sir, I trust you will not be offended if I call to your attention the fact that you are not wearing socks.
Good Lord.
Yes. I was interested in knowing if you were aware of it, and I gather from your expression that you were not. No, in chapter 3 on Gustav Meyerheim, I point out that he invariably removed his socks before he struck.
Before he struck?
Yeah. You surely recall Meyerheim, a fascinating character, a rapist. I was certain you would be amused by the coincidence. Until tomorrow, then, a good evening.
Damn psychiatrist. Write books, make a federal case out of everything. I bet his wife is a nervous wreck. Every time he takes off his socks, she probably hides in the closet. Coming!
Hi.
Hi.
Can I come in?
Sure. I mean, of course. Please do.
I'm sorry I took so long, but I've been watering the garden. I promised the Kaufmans I'd take good care of it, and I'm afraid I kind of neglected it. I didn't even find the hose until tonight.
I didn't know the Kaufmans had a garden.
Oh, yeah, they do. That's why I'm wearing jeans, to do the gardening.
Must be a very nice garden.
It is, but it's a lot of work. Before I found the hose, I'd been using the cocktail shaker. That was the only thing I could find.
Cocktail shaker?
Yeah, they have a big glass one. It must hold about a gallon. Oh, I'm just sick about the tomato plant. Did it survive, you think?
Well, I really don't know. We could have a look at it, I suppose. Out on the terrace. It's right where it landed.
Oh, that's awful. I can't figure out how it happened.
Yeah, it's right there, look. I haven't touched it.
Golly, look at that. I'll pay for it, of course. It must weigh a ton. I mean, it might have practically killed you.
Yeah, that occurred to me, too. But I wasn't sitting there, thank God. So it's all right. Look, I asked you down for a drink. Would you like one? I mean, you don't really look old enough to drink.
Oh, I do, though. I drink like a fish. Do you have scotch?
Sure. I'm pretty sure I do. I've been drinking something for the last half hour. Not sure what it was. A little upset.
Oh, I don't blame you. You could have been killed, practically. I feel just terrible about it. I mean,
oh,
I really don't know.
Don't start that again. Let's just have a drink.
All right.
How do you like it?
Scotch and soda, I guess. That's what you're supposed to say, isn't it? Back home, the boys drink scotch and Pepsi-Cola a lot. But before I knew anything at all, I knew that was wrong.
Yeah, that's about as wrong as you can get, yeah.
I knew it was. When I was very young, I liked it, though. It sort of killed the taste of the scotch.
Yeah, I can't see how it would tend to do that.
Do you have a cigarette around? I left mine upstairs.
Oh, yeah, sure. Sorry. Right here.
Oh, thanks.
It may be a little stale. I haven't been smoking. In fact, before tonight, I hadn't had a cigarette in 6 weeks.
Oh, that's wonderful. I wish I had the willpower to stop. I don't, though. I smoke like a chimney, sometimes 3 packs a day.
My God, that's terrifying.
I know. It doesn't seem to affect me, though. I guess I'm pretty healthy. What made you start again? Oh, I bet you started smoking after the plant fell down to steady your nerves.
Well, something like that.
Oh, now I really do feel awful. Oh, if I just had the sense to move it off the wall. Or call the janitor and have him move it. It's pretty heavy. Oh, I just...
Now, please, enough. Let me get some more cigarettes. I think there's an unopened carton out in the kitchen. Excuse me a minute.
Hey, a piano.
What'd you say?
Do you play the piano?
I'm afraid not. I'm tone deaf. My wife plays, though.
Oh, you're married.
Yes, I am.
I knew it. I could tell. You look married.
I do?
Mm-hmm. It's funny. Back home, practically nobody was married. And in New York, everybody is. Men, I mean.
That's a remarkable observation.
Well, it's really true.
Yeah, I guess so. I never really thought about it.
I think about it quite a lot. Oh, this is good. Do you mind if I put my feet up? I'll take my shoes off.
No, of course not. Go right ahead. Make yourself comfortable.
Your wife is away for the summer, isn't she?
Yes, as a matter of fact, she is. How did you know?
They all are. It's really amazing.
They all are?
Everybody's wife. Back home, practically nobody goes away for the summer, especially anybody's wife.
Hmm. Have you been away long? In New York, that is?
Oh, years. Almost a year and a half. Oh, it seems like years. I love it. Especially now that I've got my own apartment. When I lived at the club, I didn't like it so much. You had to be in by 1 o'clock. Well, now I can stay out all night if I want to. I was really glad when they practically asked me to leave.
Well, why did they practically ask you to leave?
Oh, it's so silly. I used to do modeling when I first came to New York. And when this picture of me was published in U.S. Camera, they got all upset.
Well, what was the matter with the picture?
I was nude.
Oh.
On the beach with some driftwood. It got honorable mention. It was called Textures, because you could see the three different textures. The driftwood, the sand, and me. I got $25 an hour, and it took hours and hours. Oh, you'd be surprised. But I don't do modeling anymore, since I got this steady job.
Now you have a steady job?
I take in washing.
What?
That's just a joke.
Oh.
I'm on this television program, the commercial part, and first I wash my husband's shirt in ordinary soap flakes, then I wash it with Pril. So when people ask me what I do, I always say I take in washing. I'm on for a minute and 45 seconds. It's really a very good part.
Oh, so you're an actress, is that it?
It's really very interesting. You know, people don't realize, but every time I wash a shirt on television, I'm appearing before more people than Sarah Bernhardt appeared before in her whole career. It's something to think about.
It certainly is.
Oh, I wish I were old enough to have seen Sarah Bernhardt. Was she magnificent?
I really wouldn't know. I'm not quite that old myself.
I guess you're not really, are you?
No, I'm 39. Or I will be the day after tomorrow. At the moment, I'm still only 38.
The day after tomorrow?
That's right.
Oh, isn't that amazing? We were born under the same sign. I was 22 yesterday. I didn't do anything about it, though. I didn't even tell anyone. Oh, I did one thing. I bought a bottle of champagne. I thought I'd just sit there and drink it all by myself.
Oh, that sounds absolutely sad.
Oh, no. No, it would have been fun. Sitting in my own apartment drinking champagne. But I couldn't get the bottle open. You're not supposed to use a corkscrew. You're supposed to work the cork loose with your thumbs. I just couldn't seem to do it. I suppose I could have called the janitor or something, but somehow I didn't feel like calling the janitor to open a bottle of champagne on my birthday. Look, I got blisters on both thumbs. Well, not really blisters, but I sort of pulled the thumb part away from the nail.
Yeah, it's not really a matter of brute force. It's more of a trick. You have to have strong thumbs, though.
I've got a wonderful idea. Let me go up and get it. It's just sitting there in the icebox. We could both drink it, since we both have birthdays. If you can really get it open.
Oh, I'm pretty sure I can get it open, but I don't want to drink
it. Oh, it'd be fun. After I couldn't get it open, I sort of lost interest in sitting up there and drinking it alone. Oh, let me go up and get it, and we'll have a double birthday party. It's very good champagne, the man said.
Well, I don't really.
I told him to be sure and give me very good champagne, because I couldn't tell the difference myself. Wouldn't you like to?
Sure. Matter of fact, I love it.
Oh.
I think we've got some champagne glasses in the kitchen.
Okay, I'll go up and get it. I'll be right back. Should I bring the potato chips, too?
Sure, let's shoot the works.
That's just the way I felt. I'll be right back.
Okay.
See you in a minute.
U.S. camera. Somewhere. Now. I know. Are there animals? Yeah. Great dishes of the world. Arctic flora and fauna. U.S. camera.
suspense. Children and animals. Human body. Oh, my God. Put it away. Put it away. Where's that bourbon? Let's see. Birthday party.
In 7 years, I never did anything like this. In another 7 years, I won't be able to.
Hey, Dick. Dickie boy.
Yeah, Richard.
What do you think you're doing?
I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing.
This kid's just a little young, don't you think?
Look, let me alone, will you?
Okay. You know what you're doing.
No, I don't. I really don't.
Relax. You're not doing anything. Even if you wanted to, you haven't got a chance.
Oh, yeah. That's what you think. She seems to like me. She seems kind of fascinated by
me. She thinks you're that nice Sarah Bernhardt fan who lives downstairs. You're getting older, boy. You got bags under your eyes. You're getting fat.
Fat? Where?
Under your chin there. You got a martini pouch. And that long hair stuff. You're not kidding anybody. One of these mornings, you're going to look in the mirror, and that's all, brother. A portrait of Dorian Gray.
Look, pal, I'm going to level with you. This is a real pretty girl, and as we pointed out, I'm not getting any younger, so...
Okay, pal, you're on your own. Not getting any younger, eh?
Hi. I'm sorry I took so long. I thought I ought to change. I got this dress at Orbach's. But I don't think you could tell, could you?
You look lovely.
Oh, thank you. Here's the champagne. You can see where I was working on it.
Now, let me take a crack at it. Oh, this is a tough one.
Should I do anything?
No, think so. Just stand well back.
We could call the janitor. He's probably got some kind of an instrument or something.
No. Let's keep the janitor out of this. Damn it. This thing is in here like a...
I told you. Oh, you can just imagine what I went through on my birthday and everything.
You know, this is just a lot of damn she nonsense. They could put a regular cork in this stuff and you could just pull it out with a corkscrew. Come on, you stinker. Hey, I think... Watch out.
Yeah?
Maybe we better get a glass just in case. Ah! Catch it.
I got it. Hey. Oh, boy, you sure have powerful thumbs.
Used to play a lot of tennis.
Do you think it's cold enough? I just had it sitting in the icebox.
It's fine. Well, happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Is it all right? I mean, is that how it's supposed to taste?
That's how.
You know, it's pretty good. I was sort of afraid it would taste like 7-Up or something.
Hey, I forgot.
What?
Birthday kiss. Happy birthday.
Thank you. Same to you.
Maybe we ought to have some music or something, since this is a party.
That's a good idea.
I got mostly old Rodgers and Hart and Cole Porter and Gershwin. Hey, how about this one? From Knickerbocker Holiday.
But it's a long, long while from May to December, and the days grow short when you reach September, and the autumn weather turns the leaves to flame, and I haven't got time for the waiting game.
Oh, I love that. I didn't even know it was from a show or anything. I thought it was just a song.
Oh, Walter Houston sang it. He had a wooden leg. In a show. Yeah, you better have some more champagne. It's really very good.
I was going to wash my hair tonight, but After I got through with the garden, I just didn't feel like it.
I was going to bed and read of sex and violence.
Mm-hmm.
We're publishing it in the fall, and I'm supposed to read it.
You're a book publisher.
Yeah, in a way. I'm the advertising manager for a firm called Pocket Classics, 75 cents in any drugstore.
You certainly got a lot of books.
Cases more in the closet.
Oh, look. You've got U.S. camera. Look.
Do we?
Yeah.
I didn't even know it. How about that? U.S. camera.
I bet I bought a dozen copies of this. But I don't have a single one left. Boys and people used to keep stealing them.
Can't think why.
Did you ever notice me in it? It's a picture called Textures.
I'm afraid I didn't.
I told you about it. Don't you remember? See? That's me right there on the beach. Hmm? My hair was a little longer then. Did you notice?
No, actually, I didn't.
And, of course, I've taken off some weight. I weighed 124 then. Gene Belding, Gene took the picture. He used to call it baby fat.
Baby fat?
Mm. I'm much thinner now. Mm.
This was taken at the beach?
Mm.
What beach?
Right on Fire Island. Oh, I see what you mean. Oh, no, it was taken very early in the morning. Ah. Nobody was even up yet.
Just you and Miss Belding?
Mr. Belding, Gene Belding with a G.
Oh. Well, certainly a fine picture.
Yeah. Thanks. I'll autograph it for you if you want. People keep asking me to.
Oh, that would be wonderful. Maybe we'd better have some more champagne.
Good. You know, this is suddenly beginning to feel like a party. Oh, it was awfully sweet of you to ask me down here in the first place.
Just one of those things. Just one of those foolish things. Trip to the moon on gossamer wings. Do you play the piano?
The piano?
Yeah. Somebody should play the piano. Do you play?
I really don't. Do you?
Just a little for myself.
Well, you play then.
You'll be sorry you asked.
Oh, I was afraid he could really play. I can play that too.
Oh, yeah.
Let's try.
What would you say if, quite suddenly, I were to seize you in my... Hey, come here.
Hey, no, wait a minute.
Are you all right? I'm sorry. I don't know what happened. I must be out of my mind.
I'm fine.
I don't know what happened.
Oh, well, I think I better go now.
No, please don't. I'm sorry.
No, I'd better go. Good night.
Please, I'm so sorry.
Oh, that's all right. Good night.
Not here. Oh, now, for God's sake, let's not start that again. Ha!
Oh, golly, I was just taking them in so there wouldn't be another accident. Oh, I'm really sorry. I mean, this is awful. I could have practically killed you again.
Doesn't matter. I'm fine.
Well, good night.
Good night.
Good night. See you tomorrow, maybe.
Huh? Yeah, see you tomorrow.
Good night.
Night.
On page 110, Doctor, if we could somehow simplify the whole passage.
Simplify? Well, in what way simplify?
In the sense of making it, simpler. Both Mr. Brady, the head of our company, and I have gone over it a number of times, and to be perfectly frank with you, neither of us has any clear idea of what it's actually about.
Your Mr. Brady, sir, is, if I may also speak with frankness, a moron.
If something is beyond Mr. Brady's comprehension, he can only assume that it will be also over the head of our readership.
It was, I take it, of Mr. Brady's suggestion that the title of my book was changed from Of Man and the Unconscious to, and I shudder to say these words aloud, Of Sex and Violence.
That is correct.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Brady felt that the new title would have a broader popular appeal.
I regret to inform you, sir, that Mr. Brady is a psychopathic inferior.
I know it all sounds a little odd to you, but Mr. Brady understands the 75-cent book field. Both Mr. Brady and I want to publish worthwhile books. Books like yours.
Well, of course.
Well, but you must remember that you are competing in every drugstore with the basic writings of Mickey Spillane.
And this is therefore why my book is to be published with a cover depicting Gustav Meyerheim in the very act of attacking one of his victims.
I must take the responsibility for the cover myself, Doctor.
And also for making Meyerheim's victims, all of whom incidentally were middle-aged women, resemble in a number of basic characteristics Miss Marilyn Monroe.
Doctor, if you don't like the cover, I'll see if I can have it changed.
I would be most grateful.
Doctor, you say in the book that 90% of the population is in need of some kind of psychiatric help.
That is theoretically true. It is not, however, practical. There is the matter of cost.
Well, with your own patients, sir, are you expensive?
Very.
I'm sure you occasionally make exceptions.
Never.
I mean, once in a while, a case must come along that really interests you.
At $50 an hour, all my cases interest me.
Yeah, but I mean, if you should run into something really spectacular. Another Gustav Meyerheim, for example. Doctor, tell me frankly.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that I need to be psychoanalyzed?
Very possibly. I could recommend several very excellent men who might perhaps be a little cheaper.
How much cheaper?
Wow.
Oh, I couldn't afford even that.
No, I thought not. Now, to get back...
Well, I wondered if, possibly, you might give me some advice.
I know everybody wonders that.
I'm desperate, Doctor. Last night, after you left... Well, do you know what I ended up doing?
I have no idea.
I ended up attempting to commit what I guess they call a criminal assault.
From the way you phrase it, I assume the attempt was unsuccessful.
Thank God. All I did was knock us both off the piano bench.
You attempted to commit a criminal assault on a piano bench?
Yeah.
And on whose person was this obviously maladroit attempt committed?
I'll show you. She's in U.S. camera. No, that's her. Her hair was a little longer then.
Splendid. I must congratulate you on your taste. Yes. However, you ask my advice, I give it to you. Do not attempt it again. If you should, however, give yourself plenty of room to work in. In any case, do not attempt it precariously balanced on a piano bench. Such an attempt is doomed from the start. Now, my boy, I must go. I have many things to attend.
Yeah, but look, Doctor, I'm married.
Uh-huh.
I've always been married. Suppose this girl tells people about this. She's likely to mention it to someone, like my wife.
This is, of course, not beyond the realms of possibility. In that event, I would recommend a course of vigorous denial. It would be simply your word against hers. Very possibly, if you were convincing enough, you could make it stick. And now I really must go. I thank you for your help. It is agreed that I shall make the necessary clarifications in Chapter 8, and you will devote your best efforts to making the cover of my book look less like a French postal card. I shall be in touch with your office the first of next week.
If she tells anyone about this, I'll kill her. I'll kill her with my bare hands.
That is also a possible solution. However, I submit that murder is the most difficult of all crimes to commit successfully. Therefore, until you are able to commit a simple criminal assault, I strongly advise that you avoid anything so complex as murder. One must learn to walk before one can run. I thank you again, and good night.
I've got to do something. What kind of a man am I, anyway? Suppose she tells everyone. Suppose she tells Helen.
Mrs. Sherman, it was terribly embarrassing. He seemed to go berserk.
He'd been sitting playing chopsticks when suddenly he grabbed me and practically tried to tear my clothes off.
And they'll all start telling Helen.
Oh, Madame Chermont, he was like a human beast. He tear off my belt, he tear off my skirt, he tear off my pants and chase me into the sea without a bathing.
It's just terrible, Mrs. Sherman. I'm positively scared to go into his office to take dictation. Why, the way that man looks at me makes me feel kind of naked.
And me, Mrs. Sherman, I'm not even safe in my own apartment. Every time I start getting ready for bed, your husband sits out there on his terrace staring at me. I just hate a peeping Tom.
I've always suspected that Richard was not quite sane.
Oh, he's sane, all right. He's just a nasty, evil-minded, middle-aged man.
Helen, I've got to do something. The girl's probably told 50 people about this already. If I just send her some flowers. Oh, that's no good. I got to talk to her, reason with her, plead with her. Tell her I was drunk, which God knows I was, and beg her not to mention this to anyone or my life could be ruined. What's her number? John Kaufman. Oregon 37221. Can't do it. What can I possibly say to her? My dear miss... don't even know what the hell her name is. My dear young woman, I have simply called to apologize for my absurd behavior last night. It was inexcusable, but I had been drinking. I can barely remember what happened, but I am under the impression that I made a terrible fool of myself. I beg you to forgive me and put the whole distasteful incident out of your mind. No good. I can't do it. What about Helen? She hasn't called. She's probably heard about it by now. Oh, that's out of the question. How could she possibly have heard anything? But she could have. The word gets around. It's like jungle drums. If she hasn't heard anything, why hasn't she called? I could call her. The minute I heard her voice, I could tell if she knew anything. Come on, call her. Stop stalling. Pick up the telephone and call her. It's the only way you'll know. Okay. Okay.
Okay. Fasten your seatbelts.
Hello, Helen.
This is Cohasset 42831.
Look, who is this? I want to talk to Mrs. Richard Sherman.
I'm afraid Mrs. Sherman is out. I'm just the babysitter.
The babysitter? What do you mean she's out for the evening? With whom is she out for the evening?
I'm afraid...
Look, this is Mr. Richard Sherman here.
Oh, Mr. Sherman, well, your wife's out with Mr. McKenzie.
Out with Mr. McKenzie?
And she left a message for you about a yellow skirt.
Oh, my God. A yellow skirt. I forgot. Something unexpected came up. Look, just tell her I'll send it up tomorrow.
All right, I'll tell her.
And, how did Mrs. Sherman seem? I mean, did she seem upset in any way, like she'd heard some bad news or anything like that?
She seemed fine to me.
Oh, good, good, good. Well, when she comes in, tell her everything is fine here and I'll talk to her tomorrow.
I'll tell her.
Fine. Goodbye, then.
Bye.
Well, thank God. The only thing I cannot understand is what the hell is she doing having dinner with Tom McKenzie? I wish she wouldn't hang around with people like that. He gets away with murder because he's a writer. Well, he's a damn lousy writer. That last book. Helen should know better than to go around with people like that. She isn't even safe. I know for a positive fact that he's been after her for years. She probably thinks she's fascinating as hell. She thought that last book of his was great. All that inwardly, downwardly pulsating, and afterwards her hair spilled across the pillow crap. But Helen is just the kind of middle-aged dame who'd fall for it. I know his pitch. The outdoor type. The he-man.
A rain-swept beach. The rain beating romantically down.
Well, good luck. That's all.
Oh, Tom, it's been years since I took a walk on the beach in the rain.
I love the rain on the sea. It's so wild and untamed. Helen, come over here by the fire.
I love an open fire.
I always say, what good is the rain without an open fire?
Oh, brother.
But wait. You're shivering.
Oh, it's nothing. I'll be warm in a moment.
No, no. You're soaked to the skin. You'll catch your death of cold.
Here it comes.
Why don't you take off your things and hang them by the fire? I'd get you something dry.
He used that in his book, for God's sake. As who didn't?
Helen, darling.
Yes, Tom.
Did anyone ever tell you that you are a very beautiful woman?
No. Not recently, anyway.
But surely, Richard...
I'm afraid Richard rather takes me for granted now.
That blind, utter fool.
Oh, darling.
Darling. Inwardly, downwardly, pulsating, striving. Now together, ending and unending. Now, now, now.
Okay, if that's the way you want it, okay.
Hello. Did you know you left your tomato plant on my terrace last night? I could have the janitor bring it back, or if you want, I was thinking maybe I could bring it along myself.
You know, that was awfully nice of you. It was enough to have you carry that heavy plant all the way upstairs. You didn't have to ask me out for dinner. Oh, I hope you didn't hurt yourself. Or strain anything.
It wasn't that heavy. I was going to call the janitor to help me, but then I decided not to.
You know, you're in pretty good shape.
For an old man.
You're not that old. You don't look a day over 28.
I know.
Anyway, it was very nice of you.
I just took a chance and called. I really didn't think you'd be home. You know, I thought you'd be out or something.
Oh, no, I don't go out very much.
You must have a boyfriend or something.
Well, I don't go out with most people who ask me.
Yeah, you went out with me when I asked you.
Oh, well, that's different. Well, I mean, it's all right going out with you.
Huh?
Well, after all, you're married.
I see. I think.
Oh, no, what I mean is, it's all right to have dinner with you because, well, you're not likely to fall desperately in love with me or anything. You're more mature.
Well, I don't feel so...
Well, you know what I mean. This certainly is a beautiful apartment.
It's all right. A little ridiculous in some ways. The stairs, for instance.
Oh, I think they're beautiful. I like an apartment with stairs.
Yeah, but these don't go anyplace. They just go up to the ceiling and stop. They give the joint a sort of Jean-Paul Sartre quality.
I see what you mean. No exit. A stairway to nowhere.
I tried to get the landlord to take them out. See, this used to be the bottom half of a duplex. This place and the Kaufman's were all one apartment.
Oh.
So, when he divided them separately, he just boarded up the ceiling. Or, in your case, the floor.
Yeah, I noticed the place in the floor. I lost an orange stick down the crack. Well, anyway, I think the apartment's just charming.
Yeah. But we're... moving into a larger place in September.
Oh, that's too bad. Oh, but still, people in New York are always moving. Well, it's getting late. I really ought to go.
Oh, you've got plenty of time.
I guess so. That's the wonderful thing about having my own apartment. I mean, at the club, you have to be in by 1 o'clock or they lock the doors.
Ooh, sounds barbaric.
Oh, it practically was. You know, it was really very funny. I mean... all the girls at the club were actresses, so naturally they were always asking each other what they called the big question.
The big question?
Yeah. They were always asking each other, would you sleep with a producer to get a part?
That is the big question.
But it's so silly. If you live at the club, anyway. I used to tell them producers don't even go to bed before 1 o'clock, so the whole thing is academic, if you see what I mean. You'd be surprised how much time they spend discussing it, though.
Yeah, I can't see where they might give the matter some thought.
Oh, sure. But they never discussed it.
You didn't have to be in by 1 o'clock. What would you do?
In that case, if I was sure he wouldn't fall desperately in love with me and ask me to marry him and everything...
Well, what's so bad about that?
Oh, that would spoil everything. Oh, marrying him, I mean. Be worse than living at the club. Well, then I'd have to start getting in at 1 o'clock again. I mean, it's taken me 22 years to get my own apartment. It'd be pretty silly if the first thing I did was to get married and spoil everything. I mean, I want to have a chance to be independent first. For a few years, anyway. Oh, you can't imagine how exciting it is to live by yourself after you've had somebody practically running your life for as long as you can remember. You just can't imagine.
Hello, Dickie boy. Remember Mommy? Daddy's going to work very hard. And he's going to stay on the wagon, like Dr. Summers told him. And he's going to eat properly and not smoke, like Dr. Murphy told him. And Mommy is going to call Daddy tonight, just to make sure he's all right. Poor Daddy. Poor Daddy. The girl is absolutely right. Not want to get married. You dope. The minute you were old enough to have any fun, the only thing you could think of to do was to get married.
I know. It was a kind of nervousness. But I made the best of it. I've been a pretty good husband. When I think of the chances I've had...
We've been through all this before.
I know. Just thought I'd mention it.
Has it ever dawned on you that you're kidding yourself?
What do you mean by that?
All those dames you could have had if you weren't such a noble husband. The only reason you didn't do anything about him was you didn't want to.
Why didn't I want to?
Laziness, pal. Laziness. It was too much trouble. You just didn't want to get involved. And all those phone calls and taxes and excuses.
Yeah.
Why does it always have to be so complicated? If you could answer that one, pal, they'd make you president of the United States.
So when you asked me to go out for dinner with you, it was all right. You're married and... Naturally, you don't want to fall desperately in love with anyone any more than I want anyone to fall desperately in love with me. Do you know what I mean?
Sure, it's too much trouble.
Exactly.
I know just what you mean.
That's right.
We both happen to be in positions where we can't possibly let ourselves get involved in anything.
Mm.
When you said about the producer,
yeah.
It would depend on if he were handsome. What did you mean by that? I mean, just out of curiosity, what would be your idea of handsome?
Well, let's see. I really don't know. I suppose he should be tall and kind of mature looking.
Like me?
You're not going to start falling desperately in love with me or anything, are you?
No, definitely not. I mean... I think you're very pretty and sweet, and I certainly enjoyed having dinner with you, but...
Oh, that's just the way I feel about you. You're very nice looking and charming and mature. But you're someone I can be with and count on him not falling desperately in love with me.
That's right. I'm almost... Well, I'm a lot older than you are. Then, of course, you can overdo that line of thinking, too. I mean, a man, a person... Anyone doesn't like to feel he's some kind of a vegetable or something. You know?
Oh, yeah.
What it amounts to is this. You've got to decide which is the most painful. Doing something and regretting it or not doing something and regretting it. You see what I mean?
I think so.
I didn't mean to start making a speech. Look, you sure you don't want to drink?
No, thanks. Really, I've got to go.
But now, look, really, it's not late.
I really should.
Well, whatever you think. Let me take you up your door.
Oh, no, that's all right. It's just upstairs.
Well, all right, if you have to go.
I want to thank you for the dinner. It was lovely.
It was fun.
Oh, and for carrying that heavy plant all the way upstairs.
It wasn't so heavy.
Well, good night. And thanks again.
Oh. Good night.
Oh. Oh, my. I've got to go. I've got to...
I'm crazy. Crazy. Keep her out. That's it. Keep her out. Chain on as well. Keep her out. Oh, my God. I might have done anything. Anything. What are you doing up there?
You said these stairs were boarded up. They're not. It's the kind of trap door.
A trap door? I don't think the Kaufmans know about it.
No, I don't suppose they do. I mean, I don't suppose they'd be very pleased if they did know. I mean, you could get in and out of each other's apartments whenever you wanted. I mean, where's the privacy? You see what I mean?
You're right.
I mean, suppose...
You're absolutely right.
What I'm trying to say...
I know.
I thought I'd better tell you about the trap door.
Going to be hotter than yesterday, I can tell. What a day. What a day. What a night. Ooh. Listen, take a grip on yourself. There's nothing to worry about. Two very attractive, intelligent people happen to meet under circumstances that seem to be propitious. And, well, it happened. Very charming and gay. Matter of fact, it was wonderful. But now it's over. Well, say goodbye like two intelligent people. We'll have coffee. Why isn't she awake yet? How can she sleep like that? What's the matter with her anyway? Maybe she has nailed up the floor again and that's all. They'll have no reason to suspect me. I'd wear gloves, of course. Never prove a thing. Now stop it. You're getting hysterical again. Well, if she isn't dead, why the hell doesn't she just get up and go home? It's late. It's late. It's really late. It's 8:10. Seems later than that. Well, I'll give her another half hour to catch up on her beauty sleep. Then I'll very politely wake her. We'll have coffee like two intelligent people. Then I'll kiss her goodbye. It's been fun, darling, but now, of course, it's over. No tears, no regrets, just goodbye. It's been swell. Dickie boy, huh? I don't want you to get upset or anything, but it might not be as easy as all that. You know? Be realistic.
What? What are you talking about?
I was just pointing out women don't take these things as lightly as men, you know. There could be complications. For example, suppose she's fallen desperately in love with you.
She can't do that. It isn't fair. She knows she can't.
After all, pal, you had a little something to do with this yourself.
Well, don't worry. I can handle it. Just don't worry. I can be tough if I have to. I can be pretty damn tough. If I set my mind to it, I can be a terrible heel.
Ha, ha.
Shut up. I'll handle this my way.
Good morning, my darling. Good morning, good morning.
Oh.
About time you dragged your butt out of the sack.
Oh, darling, darling, darling. What is it, my darling? You seem troubled.
Shut up, baby, and listen to me. I got something to tell you.
And I've something to tell you. I've grown older somehow, overnight. I know now that all our brave talk of independence, our not wanting to get involved, our being actually afraid of love. It was all childish nonsense. I'm not afraid to say it, darling. I love you. I want you. You belong to me.
Look, baby, let's get one thing straight. I belong to nobody, see? If some dumb little dame wants to throw herself at me, that's her lookout, see? I'm strictly a one-night guy. Connecticut back. Now, the smartest little move you can make is to pack your stuff and scram.
Go! Not I. Not now, not ever. Don't you see, my darling? After what we've been to each other.
I spell trouble, baby. With a capital T. We're poison to each other, you and me. Don't you see that?
When two people care for each other as we do...
What do I care for a dame? Every damn dame's the same. I'm going to own a nightclub.
That doesn't matter. Nothing matters. This thing is bigger than both of us. We'll flaunt our love. Shout it from the highest housetops. We're on a great toboggan. We can't stop it. We can't steer it. It's too late to run. The beginning has begun. Now then, do you want to be the one to tell Helen, or shall I?
Tell Helen?
Of course, we must. It's the only way.
No, you can't do that. You can't.
Oh, we can and we must. We'll face her together, hand in hand, proudly, our heads held high. Oh, we'll be social outcasts, but we won't care. It'll be you and I together, against the world. I'll go and dress now, darling, but I wanted you to know how I felt. Oh, I couldn't wait to tell you goodbye for now, my darling. I won't be long.
Crazy. I'm going crazy. That's all. I run amok. Helen goes away and I run amok. Raping and looting and smoking cigarettes. What have I done? What did I think I was doing? What did I possibly think I was doing? Damn it, I begged Helen not to go away for the summer. I begged her. What am I going to do? That girl in there undoubtedly expects me to get a divorce and marry her.
Well, why don't you?
Are you kidding? What about Helen?
What about her? Maybe this is all for the best. Maybe this is the best thing that could have happened to you. After all, Helen's not as young as she used to be. In a couple of years, you'll look like her son. Now, wait a minute. Helen is still pretty attractive. She happens to be a damn beautiful woman, if you want to know. And we've been through a lot together. The time I was fired from Random House... And when little Ricky got sick and I caught the damn mumps from him. She's taken a lot of punishment from me, if you want to know. And she's been pretty nice about it.
The point...
Comfortable. She's pretty exciting. You should see the way people look at her at parties and on the streets and everywhere.
What people?
Men. That's what people. For instance, Tom McKenzie, if you want to know. When Helen wears that green dress, the backless one with hardly any front, there's nothing comfortable about that at all. She wore it one night last spring when Tom McKenzie was over and you just couldn't get him out of here. It looked like he was going to go home about four different times, but he just couldn't tear himself away.
Helen, you look particularly lovely tonight.
Oh, why, thank you, Tom.
You're a lucky boy, Dickie, even if you don't know it.
I know all about it, and don't call me Dickie.
Helen, that name is so like you. Helen, thy beauty is to me as those Nicene barks of yore.
Oh, gracious.
No, I mean it. Stand there a moment. Let me drink you in. Turn around. Slowly. That's it. You look particularly lovely in a backless gown.
Backless, frontless, topless, bottomless. I'm onto you, you son of a bitch.
What was that, old man?
Don't pay any attention to Dick. You know what happens to him and martinis.
Two martinis. Two lousy martinis.
Dr. Summers has told him time and time again that he should go on the wagon for a while till his stomach gets better.
That's good advice, Dick. When a man can't handle the stuff, he should leave it alone. That's what I say. Once a year, just to test my willpower, I stop everything.
No comment.
You really like this dress, do you, Tom?
I certainly do. It's a Potter original, isn't it?
Oh, yes, but that's wonderful. How did you know?
Oh, I'm a bit of an authority on women's clothes. You should really take me with you the next time you go shopping. We could have a bite of lunch first and really make a day of it. Good night, Dick. Good night, Helen.
Good night, Tom.
I'll call you one day next week.
I'll be looking forward to it. I thought he was never going home.
Helen, thy beauty is to me as those Nicene barks of yours. Is he kidding?
Oh, you know, Tom, he beats his chest and makes noises that doesn't really mean anything.
I know. His Nicene bark is worse than his Nicene bite. Hey, that's pretty good. That came out better than I thought it was going to. Nicene bark, Nicene bite.
Actually, in some ways, Tom is very sweet. Well, I mean, it's nice to have people notice your clothes.
Notice your clothes? He did a lot more than notice. He practically... You know, you really ought to do something about that dress. Just the front part there.
Do something about it?
Well, I mean, sort of, I don't know. Maybe we ought to empty the ashtrays or something. You should see the way he was looking at you.
He should have been flattered. Don't you want people to think your wife's attractive?
Well, sure, but... Why don't we clean this place up a little? It looks like a cocktail lounge on West 10th Street.
Darling.
We ought to at least empty the ashtrays. And...
Not now.
Huh?
I mean... Now.
Then you really do love Helen? What do you want, an affidavit? Well, good. So that leaves you with only one problem. I'm warning you, pal, it may not be as easy to get rid of this girl as you think.
Huh?
My dear boy, did you ever hear of a thing called blackmail?
Blackmail?
One often hears of unscrupulous young girls who prey on foolish, wealthy, middle-aged men.
Now, really...
You got her into bed without any great effort. Why do you suppose she was so willing?
But she said... She told me... She went on record. She didn't want to get involved. A minute ago, you were saying she was madly in love with me.
You poor, foolish, wealthy, middle-aged man.
Now, wait a minute. In the first place, I'm not wealthy.
Blackmail, pal. It happens every day. She'll bleed you white.
Oh, my God. I'll have to sell the kids' bonds. Poor Ricky. Poor Helen. There's only one thing to do. Confess everything and throw myself on her mercy. We're both intelligent people. She'll forgive me.
I wouldn't be a bit surprised if she shot you dead. You're out of your mind.
Not Helen. If she shot anyone, it would much more likely be herself.
Oh, my God, she'd probably shoot both of us. I can't go on torturing myself like this. I have to tell her. No, she'll be hurt for a while, but she'll get over it. There's no other way. I've got to tell her and take my chances.
Helen. Helen?
Yes, darling?
Can you come in here a moment, please? There's something I must tell you.
Yes, Dick.
I don't know how to say this to you.
Yes.
We've been married a long time.
7 glorious years.
And in all that time, I never looked at another woman.
I know that. And I want to tell you what it's meant to me. You may not know this, darling, but you're terribly attractive to women.
I am.
Yes, you funny Richard, you are. I trust you, Dick. I always have. I always will. Do you know something?
What?
I honestly believe that if you were ever unfaithful to me, I'd know it. I'd know it instantly.
You would?
Oh, yes.
And what would you do?
Oh, darling, don't be...
No, really, I'm interested. What
would you do?
I think I'd probably shoot you dead. Afterwards, of course, I'd shoot myself. Life wouldn't be worth living after that.
Oh, no. Helen?
Yes?
Nothing. Nothing.
Yes, there is something, I can tell.
No, take it easy.
I can tell. Something happened while I was away this summer.
Well, an accident. Crazy accident. There was this tomato. This tomato plant fell down. Landed right out there in the terrace. But nobody was hurt, thank God. I didn't want to tell you about it. I was afraid you'd worry.
Who was she?
Now, Helen, you're making this up.
Who was she?
Now, please, really.
That's true. It is true.
Look, we're both intelligent people. I know you'd be hurt. But I know that somehow, someday, you'll forgive me. My God, put that thing down. What are you going to do?
Left me nothing else to do. I'm going to shoot you dead. And I'm going to kill myself.
But what about the child?
You should have thought of that before. Goodbye, Richard. You know what Dr. Murphy told you about smoking?
Goodbye. Oh, the hell with that. I'll be goddamned if I'll tell her. But I've got to. I've got to. Who is it?
Once again, sir, I fear I must trouble you.
Dr. Brubaker.
Yes.
What is it? What can I do for you? No, doctor, that's impossible. I'm afraid you're mistaken. I'm quite sure you had it with you.
No.
In fact, I remember quite clearly seeing... Oh, there it is. You're right. Isn't that amazing? Here you are, doctor.
Oh, thank you.
Goodbye.
If you'll just permit me, I'll just make sure that everything is in order. You can see, can't you, what a strong unconscious resistance this whole project has stimulated in me. I cannot understand this mass compulsion on the part of the psychiatric profession to write and publish books.
Well, don't worry about it, Doctor. I mean, books by psychiatrists almost always sell well. I'll talk to you again the first of the week.
Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you. Once again, I must apologize for troubling you, particularly in the midst of such a delicate situation.
Yeah. Well, what? What do you mean? What delicate situation?
Oh, I mean only that it's quite clearly your second assault on the person of the young lady was more successful than the first. My physic could not have been more inopportune. Goodbye, sir, and good luck.
Now, wait a minute, Doctor. Wait a minute. You just can't say something like that and then go.
Well, my boy, I have a very full day ahead of me.
Look,
I'm afraid
I can't stand it. You've got to tell me how you know about what happened.
In the light of our conversation of last evening, it's quite obvious. I returned this morning to find you behind barred doors in an extreme state of sexomasochistic excitement bordering on hysteria.
What the hell is sexomasochistic excitement?
Guilt feelings, sir. Guilt feelings. A state of deep and utter enjoyment induced by reveling in one's guilt feelings. One punishes oneself, one is pardoned of one's crime. And now, my boy, I really must go. Enjoy yourself.
Look, this may not seem very much to you. You spend 8 hours a day with rapists and all kinds of... But I've never done anything like this before.
That is quite obvious.
This is the first time. And by God, it's the last time.
An excellent decision.
I mean, I love my wife.
Don't we all, sir? Don't we all?
If she ever finds out about this, she'll kill us both. Well, she'll kill herself anyway, and I don't want her to do that. Maybe it would be better if I didn't tell her.
Possibly.
But she'd find out some way. I know she would.
What was that you said last night? There was some phrase you used. Well, what was it?
Vigorous denial. This popular theory of the omniscience of wives is completely untrue. They almost never know because they don't want to.
Yeah. Vigorous denial. Suppose I denied it, that's all. I mean, she'd have to take my word for it. As a matter of fact, you know, it's probably a damn good thing this happened. I mean, a couple of days ago, I wasn't even sure if I did love her. Now I know I do. Helen ought to be damn glad this happened, if you want to know. You are absolutely right, Doctor. I just won't tell her and everything will be fine. And if she should find out, I'll deny it.
Vigorously.
Gee, Doctor, I'd like to give you $50 or something.
Well, no. Oh, no, that won't be necessary. However, if the young lady should by any chance suffer any severe traumatic or emotional disturbances due to your decision to go back to your wife, if, in other words, she appears to be in need of psychiatric aid, I trust you'll mention my name. Mm-hmm. Thank you. And once again, sir, a good day.
Hi.
You're up.
Yes. Who was that?
Oh, just some author I was dealing with.
Sorry, I didn't know it was so late. I don't know what happened to me. I've got to be at the studio in half an hour.
Studio?
Sure. The television show.
I was going to make some coffee.
Oh, that's all right. I'll get some on the way.
I don't know how to say this, but you're... I mean,
I know. Thank you.
Will I see you? Again, I mean?
I think better not.
This whole thing, it's been swell. Only
one thing, we mustn't forget that.
What's that?
This is your birthday.
Gee, that's right, it is.
Well, I want this to be a happy birthday.
Look, you're not upset about anything, are you?
Oh, no, I feel fine.
Are you sure? I mean, I...
Sure. No, really, I feel wonderful, only, well, suddenly I feel like maybe it wouldn't be so bad to have to start getting in at 1 o'clock again.
But didn't you say, I mean, didn't that spoil everything?
You don't understand. I mean, it would be pretty nice to have to start getting in at 1 o'clock again as soon as I find someone who's fallen desperately in love with me. Someone who's sweet and intelligent and married to me. I don't mean you. I mean, well, you know, someone who just...
Someone who never saw Sarah Bernhardt.
Well, yes. Goodbye. And thanks for everything. Birthday kiss. Happy birthday, Richard.
Thank you.
You know, maybe I better nail this trap door up. You never know who might get into your apartment.
Well, the Kaufmans I can do without.
Well, I better get on with it.
Sure. Goodbye.
Bye.
If that's Brubaker... Hello.
I'm sorry to bust in on you at this ungodly hour, boy, but I'm here on business. They just drove in this morning. I got an appointment with my agent, so Helen asked me to stop by and ask you...
Oh, she did. Well, I'm damn glad she did. I want to talk to you, Tom McKenzie. You think you're pretty fancy with your rain and your damn fireplaces.
What are you talking about? What fireplaces?
You know what fireplaces.
I don't even have a fireplace.
That's your story.
I put in radiant heat. What the hell is all this about fireplaces? Are you drunk or something?
No, I am not drunk. She had dinner with you last night, didn't she?
Sure. Well, what's wrong with that?
And she was wearing that green dress from Claire Potter, wasn't she?
Well, how the hell do I know where she bought the green dress?
Oh, so she was wearing it. That's worse than I thought.
You are drunk. What is that?
That's nothing. This used to be a duplex.
Now, see here, old man. Why shouldn't Helen have dinner with me? She's stuck up there in the country while you're down here doing God knows what.
What do you mean by that?
I know what happens with guys like you when their wives are away. Don't forget, I used to be married myself.
I've got a good mind to punch you right in the nose.
Why?
Why? Because you're too old, that's why.
Too old? What are you talking about?
You're getting fat.
You know, there's something really repulsive about old men who run after young wives. Now, you get right out of here and get back to Helen and you tell her I refuse to give her a divorce.
A divorce?
You heard me. You can tell her from me that I'll fight it in every court in the country.
You're crazy. Helen doesn't want a divorce. She wants a yellow skirt.
Her yellow skirt. Oh, my God.
She's having people over for dinner, and she needs it.
Her yellow skirt. I'll take her yellow skirt up to her myself. She needs it. She's having people over for dinner. People over for dinner? What people? Me. That's what people. Me.
In George Axelrod's The Seven-Year Itch, Hugh Paddick played Richard Sherman. Toby Robbins, the girl, Margaret Robertson, Helen Sherman, and Aubrey Woods, Dr. Brubaker. Ralph Watson played Tom McKenzie, Gillian Barge, the babysitter, Elizabeth Proud, Ricky, and the girl opposite, Jane Knowles, Murray, and Sarah Coward, Miss Morris. The play, which was adapted by Colin Tucker, was produced by Guy Vasey. Gillian Barge is a National Theatre player.